I do want to get into the Marjorie Greene meltdown because it's so amazing. And I'll just briefly read through it because it's so good. But first, we'll give you some background here. We covered this last week. On Friday, Marjorie Greene surprised the whole country. She goes on Twitter and she releases a video statement with a written transcription, and she announces that she is resigning from Congress, which is a huge surprise because she's very popular in her district. She's a national figure. She's a big fundraiser. I think her seat is probably safe. If she were to seek re-election, she would most likely win. The timing was interesting. She is now in an open and very public and very severe feud with the president, and this is concerning the Epstein files, among other things. Marjorie, over the past several months, has broken with the president on a few issues, on his attack against Iran, on the H-1B visas, and other statements about immigration, on the government shutdown, and most recently on the release of the Epstein files. And of course, what happened last week is that this feud went hot. Trump called out Marjorie directly on True Social, viciously wrote like three paragraphs about her, ripping her to shreds. He officially unendorsed her, withdrew his support, and said that he would actually endorse a primary candidate against Marjorie in her next election in her district. So they're in open war now. What happened days after that is that Marjorie got the better of Trump, because she, with Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace, and Thomas Massie, worked with the Democrats on a discharge petition to force the House to vote on the Epstein file bill. It passed almost unanimously in the House. It passed unanimously in the Senate. And it's headed to the president's desk for a signature. And it was just days after this that Marjorie resigns. And so naturally, everybody started to speculate, are these things related? And I'm sure they were. Of course they were. People said maybe she's not confident she could win re-election if Trump is pushing a primary challenger. People said maybe she wants to run for president and she doesn't want to get bruised up in a really contentious primary where they're going to run attack ads and they're going to go looking for skeletons in her closet and things like that. I said it's probably more likely that she backed off because she was threatened. Maybe she got death threats. Maybe she got blackmailed. Who knows? But clearly the timing was relevant there. Trump attacks her on a Sunday. The bill passes on a Tuesday. She resigns on a Friday. Boom, boom, boom. Obviously, these things are connected. And a lot of people were very optimistic about it, though. They said, well, she's just going to run for president. They said she's seeking higher office. She's going to run for president. Her odds in Poly Market just went up to 6%. She's now in third place, a distant third. And I said last week, you know, that really doesn't make any sense, because if you're going to run for president in a presidential primary, you want to do it as a sitting office holder. You want to run as the congresswoman, not the former congresswoman. And if you want to get people excited about a presidential run, then you want your donors to be enthusiastic. You want them to be committed. You don't want to pull out a year before the really, it's just about a year before the primary would begin. It doesn't really send the right message. So she does all this, and then she comes out a couple of days later, and she says, I am not running for president at all. She addresses that rumor and says, nope, I'm not running for president. And she releases this, like, really stinking statement. This was a few days ago. She comes out with a statement, and she says, contrary to this rumor being peddled by Time magazine, I'm not running for president. And she launches into this really ugly rant where she says, why would I run for president? You can't change anything. The system's rigged. She had a really shitty paragraph in there. She goes, why would I go around the country begging for money, sacrificing my health and having no social life, only to arrive in Washington and not be able to change anything? That's an actual quote from her tweet. She says, why would I go around begging people for money, ruining my health, and not having a personal life? A personal life? You're a congresswoman. What do you mean your personal life? You don't want to run for president and like save the country because then you couldn't check out hot new restaurants in Arlington, Virginia? What are you talking about? You're not going to have a personal life? You're a representative in the United States Congress. You're going to sacrifice your health? What does that mean? You're not going to get your 8 hours? So this is my problem with a lot of these people. They're really just not in it to win it. That's what that tells us. If somebody even thinks that in their mind, let alone says it out loud in public, what does that tell you about who that person is? This is a person that goes to rallies and goes to political events and goes to Congress, and she's a crusader, a fighter, a revolutionary. We're fighting for women. We're fighting for America. And then she writes a statement like that. This like pissy, bitter, resentful statement where she says, why would I run for president? You can't change anything and I'm going to sacrifice my personal life, your personal life. How could you even think that? How could you even think that in your head? I don't have a personal life and I'm a live streamer. I haven't had a personal life for 10 years since I was 18 years old in college and I'm a live streamer because that's the program. When you're in politics, and moreover, when you're in dissident politics, when you're a revolutionary, no, you don't get a personal life at all. You're lucky if you get a family. And even if you do, you don't get to see them all the time. You are committed to the nation. You are committed to the cause. You sort of give yourself to the cause. You, in a way, almost lose your humanity. You identify with the cause. You become the cause. That's what is entailed in all of that. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in politics. Because then you either become a grifter and you're not really there to make change. You're not really there to shake things up. It's another job. You're getting paid. You do a job. You're told what to do. It's like a job. Or you're enforcer of the status quo, in which case you're like a security guard. You're like a police officer. There's not really a ton of risk involved in that. You're in an oversight capacity. You're kind of keeping things, you're keeping an eye on things, drinking your coffee, hanging out. If you are a revolutionary, if you're fighting for America, it's a full-time job. That is a full-time around the clock. There is no, you know, the grind does not stop. She goes, I'm not going to have a personal life. Like I said, to think that in your mind, what about my diet? What about my social life? Then to say that without any conscientiousness of how that comes across or how that sounds, that really shows you what kind of person she is. I'm not going to have a social life, seriously? Grow up. What are you, 50? You got grown kids. You're in your second marriage or whatever that is. You're 50. You're in Congress. You're a trust fund kid. Your personal life? Grow up. This is what she says. This was a few days ago. So for all those people that thought she was running for president, no, she's not because it's too hard. And what about her health and her social life? And you can't change anything. Why bother? She says. Today, she comes out with a new statement. Get a load of this. So Mike Cernovich replies to her on Twitter and he says, I'm going to read it exactly. He says, you need to serve out your full term. You need to serve out your full term. That's it. And by the way, I agree with that. You run for office, you need to serve out your term. Unless you're dying, unless there is some debilitating scandal that makes it impossible for you to continue your work, you really need to finish what you started. You don't need to run forever. You don't need to be a career politician, but you need to finish what you started. And by the way, for the House, it's only 2 years. That's not even a long time. President's 4, Senate is 6, Supreme Court is for life. Two years? You can't do 2 years? She's only been there since 2020. She's been in there for 5. You can do it for another year. She replies to Mike Cernovich's tweet. I'm going to read it for you. This is what she says. So Cerno says, you need to serve out your full term. This is her reply. She quote tweets and says, oh, I haven't suffered enough for you while you post all day behind a screen? Do I have to stay until I'm assassinated like our friend Charlie Kirk? Will that be good enough for you then? Shit posting on the internet all day isn't fighting. Get off your ass and run for Congress. I fought harder than anyone in the real arena, not social media. Put down your little pebbles and put your money where your mouth is. Really? So what's the pitch with a person like this? Vote for me. I'm going to run for office. I'm going to be in Congress. I'm going to fight for Trump. I'm going to fight for America first. Oh, it got a little bit hard. Well, why don't you do it? What is this attitude? What is this? Where is this coming from? Then she doubles down. She quote tweets that. It gets better. She quote tweets her first tweet from her other account, her official congressional account. And then it gets so much better. She writes, typical of Republican men telling a woman to shut up, get back in the kitchen and fix me something to eat. Is that what he said? Is that what he was saying? You're quitting. You ran for Congress. You said you would fix things. And now you're quitting a year in for no good reason because it got hard. Somebody says, hey, you should really finish what you started. And now she says, you're telling a woman to get back in the kitchen and fix me dinner? What? Is that what he said? What are you talking about? What is that? And where is that coming from now? What, do you hate men now? Typical of Republican men. Are you kidding? It would be bad enough if she said typical of men. Typical of Republican men? Hey, bitch, you're a Republican. Who do you think voted for you? What are you talking about? Typical of Republican men? You're a Republican. You have ran as a Republican and won as a Republican in 2020, 2022, 2024. Who do you think voted for you? That's who you're attacking? You're going to generalize all Republican men? Typical of Republican men to be what? Traditional? First of all, he didn't even say that. He said the opposite. He said, okay, you want to run for Congress and be a politician? Be a politician then. Finish your term. She says it's sexist. We're telling her to get in the kitchen. How does that even, it's literally the opposite. Wouldn't it be a typical chauvinist to say you should resign and get in the kitchen? Not you shouldn't resign, you need to stay in Congress and finish your job? So what is typical then for us to tell you not to quit? For us to tell you to finish what you started, fulfill your obligations and your responsibilities? So what, we can't tell women what to do? Better yet, we can't tell our congresswomen what to do. A congresswoman is under no obligation to finish her term if she doesn't want to. And if you expect her to, you're a typical sexist pig. That's just like, that is like a delusional, hateful, sick thing to say. This is a person that's not right in the head. For a politician to say that, messed up. And you know what I'm getting? You know what I'm really detecting there? It could be that she's resentful of Trump. You know, Trump really did rug pull her. He really betrayed her. Maybe she's mad at him. She's taking it out on other Republican men. But you know what that sounds like to me? She went on The View and got a warm reception from Whoopi Goldberg and from the women of The View, a very liberal show. And when she started talking about the Epstein files, a lot of liberals that fucking hated her guts a few years ago started to say, why am I agreeing with Marjorie? Why am I agreeing with Marjorie? She seems okay. And you almost have to wonder if Marjorie is looking around and at her new friends and thinking to herself, what am I doing wasting my time being a Republican in Congress? I've been attacked and ridiculed and mocked as a loony hillbilly, as a loony, knuckle-dragging hillbilly Republican for the last 5 years. Why am I doing this? Just to be attacked by Trump? Just, you know, for things to, bad things to happen to me? So that almost sounds like there is like a feminist trying to break out here. This is like a serious girl boss syndrome. This is like a girl boss. And really, like a liberal contagion, she went on The View and said, oh, I like this. I'm on The View. These women, these liberal women, all conservative women want to be famous. They want to be liberal women, but liberal women hate them. So they reluctantly have to push the screws, turn the screws on the liberal women. She goes on the show and says, oh, I like how this feels. They're agreeing with me. On The View, this is such a big talk. They all want to be Oprah. They all want to do daytime TV. Now her problem is with Republican men, sexism. Get back in the kitchen, she says. Really? What a joke. She goes on. So she says, typical of Republican men telling a woman to shut up, get back in the kitchen, fix me something to eat. Imagine that you're a Christian, you're a conservative. Imagine the audacity of a man to tell his wife, make me dinner. I know. Women should not be expected to do anything. They should not be expected to make dinner. They should not be expected to finish their term in Congress. Like, yeah, there's no expectations. She goes on. She says, fuck you in the sweetest, most southern drawl I can enunciate. Oh, women love to do it. They love to do that. She goes on. I have been trying to tell all you men that are... love it. I have been trying to tell all you men that our kitchen pantry is empty with spider webs. Our house has been ransacked. The windows and doors are broken and busted. And the greedy rich bastards have twisted your minds into a sick state that you all continue in the two-party toxic political system that acts like college football playoffs. It is burying you and your children and their children and their children in a pine box in a shallow grave. Get off your ass and fix your own damn food and clean up the kitchen when you're done. And then everyone clapped. And then all of the indignant women of America got up and clapped. They don't even know what they're clapping for. It's a totally inane, idiotic rant that doesn't make any sense. You're a fucking congresswoman, retard. You're telling us about the bastards in power and the wars. Hey, retard, you're in Congress. Do something about it. Nobody made you run. You raised millions of dollars. You got famous. You have millions of followers on social media. You are loaded. You're a trust fund girl. You inherited millions of dollars. You inherited a construction company. And then you asked everybody to vote for you because you would represent us and fix it. And now that people are asking you respectfully to finish out your term, you turn it around and say, what about the corruption? I don't know. You tell me. You ran for office. You raised the money. You got rich. What's your net worth now? What was it 5 years ago? Now you're going to come and tell us after you collect your pension? Oh, now we got to, and if we don't, what, we're sexist pigs? Get off your ass. What, if we expect you to do your job? I don't know how you come back from something like this. I see this statement. I say goodbye. Good riddance, you stupid bitch. And honestly, I'm obviously, I have a feud with Marjorie. I don't like her. I think she's dishonest. I think she's a sellout. I think she's a piece of shit. I think that she is so caught up in the glamour, the outfits, the black cars, the life, the view. This is what she's about, obviously. She's a complete degenerate. She had her husband, cheated on her husband with some bodybuilder. Then she gets some new guy. She's got kids. She's in Congress LARPing as some kind of truth teller. Then she sells out to Kevin McCarthy. She doesn't know what she's doing. So I've had a problem with her for many years. I never thought she was that intelligent. I don't think her heart's in the right place. I don't think she belongs there. And so I'm enjoying it partially because she's just showing us who she really is. She doesn't have the guts. She doesn't have the spirit for this. 5 years, that's really nothing. And a lot of people have had a much harder go at it than her. I mean, this is just disrespectful to everybody that's actually put in the work, maybe including and especially Donald Trump himself. Say whatever you want about Trump, whatever you want. And I've said a lot about him and I have my criticisms and I'm firmly in opposition at this point. That being said, this man has been fighting a battle for 10 years. And look at what he's been up against. Look at the personal treachery. He gets accused of rape. The disgusting smears against him. They say that he's giving golden showers on Obama's bed. Stormy Daniels are talking about the shape of his penis. They're attacking his family. They're attacking his daughter. They're attacking his son, his wife. Probably destroyed his marriage. That's what it looks like. Destroyed his marriage. attacked his reputation, his family, his business. Then, the way they undermine him relentlessly, his crowd sizes, his appearance, his mental faculties, every time he flubs a sentence or a word, every time he trips. The impeachments, the federal charges, the charges in New York and Georgia, they try to put this guy in jail for the rest of his life. Then they shot him. Then they fucking shot him in the fucking head. And he still fought through and became the president again, in good times and bad times, when it felt inevitable, when it felt hopeless. And again, I believe that Trump, in a similar way, has sold out to the establishment. He's made compromises, but there's something to be said, in spite of that, about the personal aspect. There are personal virtues embodied there, the perseverance, the stick-to-itiveness, the courage. That's admirable, actually, to be in the arena at the highest level, to take the blows and the punches, and really to ride the wave. Like I said, whatever it throws at you in calm waters and in the storm, that's Trump. So for this person then to go on Twitter and talk about boo-hoo, boo-hoo, Charlie Kirk, and what about me, and it's so frustrating. Are you kidding me? I think about guys like Jared Taylor. And I don't know that me and Jared are each other's biggest fans lately, but I'll always admire him because this is a guy that for 35 years, since 1992, and I don't say this to glaze him. We have like some pretty severe disagreements right now, I guess. But this is a guy that has been meeting in small venues for 35 years, pushing the same message to a small crowd in the hopes that someday someone will hear the message. And this guy, you know, he started when he was an adult. He's only gotten older. This is not a backhanded compliment, by the way, but this is to say he never made millions of dollars. He never became a national figure. He never became famous or got to sit in Congress or got to be on the news or got that kind of a platform. He never had a platform of a million followers. And yet he wakes up and he carries a gun when he goes to take the trash out because Antifa wants to fucking kill this guy. And probably that impacted his personal life, family. You know, so I think of guys like this. I think about even guys like Andrew Anglin. I hate Andrew Anglin at this point. I think he's a jealous little cocksucker. But him too, very gifted, very brilliant. Probably one of these unrecognized geniuses. That's why he's so resentful. But he's another one. He can't even live in America, allegedly. And so I think about all the people I've known over the years. I'm not even going to insinuate myself, but I think about all the people I've known over the years, even people I don't like, even people I don't agree with, even people that hate my guts. And I say, how fucking dare you? You go on Twitter, you've been in it for 5 years, you're rich, you've gotten rich off of this, you're famous, you got famous off of this, you're a national figure, you have a platform, you have the ability to make change. And the going gets a little tough. You haven't even been at it for that long. And you go on Twitter and start bitching? Oh, we can't fix anything. You run for Congress. What do you want me to get shot? And it's and then you go and turn the blame around on the people that voted for you, Republican men. That's who voted for you, dumbass. Who do you think is your staff? It's Republican men. Who's Isaac? That's a Republican man. Your staff is Republican men. Your voters are Republican men. Your colleagues, your donors are Republican men. You turn around and you spit on them because it got hard. You're blaming them. Blame yourself. You should have never gotten involved in this. You don't have what it takes. You are a loser. Disgusting. And on a personal level, I'm disgusted. We could have our political disagreements. People disagree about strategy, about ideology, and it happens. But this is such a lack of character. But you know what? You can't even really hold it against her because this is the farce of women in politics. You can't even blame her. It's like getting mad at your dog because he's not going to put on clothes every day. You know, it's not in their nature. We're going to get mad at Marjorie Greene. Why? Because she's not a leader? Because she's not decisive? because she doesn't have gumption. She doesn't have fucking guts. She doesn't have balls. Well, she's a woman. Of course she doesn't have balls. She's not strong. You know, and women like to say women are the strongest. Okay, yeah, in certain respects, but not like this. Not in this situation. Women are not made to get shot. Women are not made to go and get thrown into battle and have bullets whizzing past their head, which is what you're kind of in for in politics. It happened to me. You didn't see me crying. A guy came to my front door with a gun. I kept doing the show. I came back a few weeks later. Hey, guy, I think I did a Christmas show the following week. I said, hey, guys, yeah. Someone tried to kill me. Pretty fucked up. You move on. That's what it is. But this is the folly and the farce of women in politics. What it takes in politics is vision, leadership, long-term planning, abstract thinking, all these things that emotional control, discipline, always that women just lack. And people don't like to hear it that way because they like to say, well, I know a woman that's pretty strong. My wife is strong. My wife birthed 6 children. That's strength. Okay, but that's not running in Congress. That's a completely different thing. You know? And so on some level, you just have to look at her in some ways as a victim. And we as the men have to ask ourselves, are we going to keep subjecting ourselves to this? Are we going to keep empowering these overgrown fucking children to be in politics? She's going to be in Congress and we're going to tell ourselves that, you know, this is really progressive. And, you know, this is a feminist idea that we're going to have a woman in Congress. It's going to be telling everybody what to do and have an all-male staff. And she's going to run for president. Don't make me laugh. Women should never be the fucking president. The governor? Give me a break. But, you know, this is where we are. This is where we are with our girl dads and wife guys in Congress. This is where you got Tucker Carlson motherfucking me on the show. Why are you attacking Marjorie? Happy wife, happy life. Listen, girl dad. Listen, girl dad, wife guy, boomer, whatever your name is. This is why we don't have women in politics, because when the going gets tough, it's not a movie. It ain't a movie. This is not the Avengers. This is not a Disney movie about a badass chick that learned karate and is kicking dudes in the head. This is not, you know, this is not a Hollywood movie where the female mayor slams her fist on the desk and fights corruption and leads the nation away from cynicism and racism and hatred. This is not the Batman. Okay, this is real life. That does not exist. That is a character in a movie that you have seen. It is not real. That does not happen. Take a look around the world. Where do you see that? Putin, Zelensky, Macron, Trump. It's guys. It's dudes. So it's our fault that we enable this and we empower this. She should not be in Congress. And I'm not saying this because I hate women. I don't hate women. I'm not saying this because I believe women can't do anything, but this is not the domain of women. Politics is like war. It is an extension of war. Who do you think the politicians used to be? Generals, warlords, fighters. And what defines the sovereign? It's the ability to take life. It's the ability to command your subjects to kill and be killed for the sake of the realm. That's what it means to be a sovereign. That's what it means to be the president. The president is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. And so if you're going to tell people to kill and be killed on your behalf as a leader of the country, you have to actually need to be a soldier or like eligible to be a soldier at one point in your life. And we all know why women can't be soldiers. They're not physically strong. They have their period. It makes them not able to go and extended missions and fight battles. And people might say, well, you're skinny, you're a weakling. Okay, but if necessary, any man would do what it takes to survive. That's what a man has to do. And that's what you do in politics. That's what you do as a leader of a country. That's what you do as a lawmaker. And so the idea that we would entertain that, it's our fault. She goes and says Republican men. And by the way, you know what's so funny? Here's a delicious irony in all of it. It was Republican men that voted for her. Republican men that gave her money to run. Her dad is a Republican man that gave her her trust fund. Republican men that solve all the problems in her office, her legislative director, comms director. These are Republican men. And what's funny is all these Republican men said, we're going to support this woman. I don't care if a woman is going to be my boss. I'm going to vote for a woman. I'm going to work for a woman. I'm going to give money for a woman to run for office. And they all saw nothing wrong with that. They all thought that was a great idea. They all said, I don't care. This is fine. This is really a feminist idea. It's kind of anachronistic. Like, you know, this should not exist if you're actually patriarchal. And what does she do? Does she reward those progressive, simpy Republican men that supported her? No. Does she look at the Republican men that believe in her enough? They want her to finish her term? No. She blames the man. She blames the men that put her in a position of responsibility. You put a woman in charge as a man, she fails, crashes out, cries, turns around and blames the man that put her in the position of responsibility. Do the men get a head pat? Do the men get a thank you, gratitude? Do they get rewarded? Are they noble for being so progressive? No, they're fucking stupid. And that is why they are now being disavowed. That is why Marjorie is now turning on all the Republican men that supported her and saying, typical Republican man, you should just run for Congress. Isn't that why they're all working for you, voting for you, donating to you so that you could do it, you fucking idiot? Of course not. But this is what women do. No accountability. And it shouldn't be that way. They shouldn't be accountable. They shouldn't be really accountable. They should be accountable for one thing, and that is what they do with their bodies, and that's it. Because the rest, it doesn't matter. They should be accountable for the decision to hook up with men with no intention of bringing children into the world, or hooking up with horrible men and bringing future criminals into the world. That's what they should be held accountable for, because that is their obligation. Their obligation is to select the future of the species, and that's it, and it stops there. And then they're the homemakers. They raise the children, so they make up the home, they feed the children, and this is what they do. So, you know, they're not accountable, they'll never be accountable, and they shouldn't be. They're accountable for one thing, and that is sex. Period. End of story. It's how it should be. Now you know why. QED, end of discussion. So I saw that. I said, wow, amazing, amazing. It's really amazing. Because I had my beef with her. And like I said, I've had people kind of on my ass about this. Tucker said, why do you attack Marjorie? She's a sincere fighter, bro. She's a fucking woman. Did you forget? Or what are you? Are you a woman too? Or you're an enabler? You're a wife guy? You're a girl dad? I mean, really, Milo was working for her. Milo, and it's so funny. Milo Yiannopoulos, the Jewish pedophile, worked for Marjorie Greene, and they were like this. And it's so typical. It's all these disgustingly attention-hungry and power-hungry women, and they get together with the faggots. Like moth to a flame. Like, it doesn't matter how Republican, how conservative. Ann Coulter, fag hag. Ann Coulter and Ryan Gerdusky, moth to a flame. Marjorie Greene and Milo, moth to a flame. Candace Owens and Milo, moth to a flame. Doesn't matter how based, how Catholic, whatever. It's these power-hungry women, typically whores, and the fags. Fag hags and the fags. And so Milo is so far up Marjorie's ass, and Milo is supposed to be based. He's supposed to be based, Tradcath, blah, blah, blah. Tucker's supposed to be based, you know, whatever. Have more kids than you can afford, this and that. And they're both glazing this woman politician. Girl power, they say. Girl power. Girl power, Candace. Girl power, Marjorie. And am I the only one over here that's saying, like, no, less of this? Candace Owens, be with your kids. Your kids want your attention. Like, could you imagine Candace Owens' kids, what they're thinking right now? Mommy is over there in the office and, like, the wallpaper's been ripped off the walls. It's just yarn everywhere, pinned up to the wall. Pictures of trannies, pictures of Brigitte Macron's penis, pictures of Emmanuel Macron, pictures of the Sanford prison experiment. Could you imagine, like, the empty bottles of wine? Could you imagine for a moment? The printer paper everywhere. Could you imagine things pinned up all over the wall? Eventually, she's probably just smearing the wall with paint or blood or something, you know, scrawling things on the wall. Brigitte Macron did this. Brigitte Macron, well, I'm Brigitte Macron. Like, you know, she's writing it in crayon or marker on the walls. Brigitte Macron killed everybody. Brigitte Macron started the war in Iran. And could you imagine what the kids are like, Mommy, I'm hungry. You know, the kids are knocking at the door. Mommy, why are you yelling? Why are you screaming? Is everything okay? It's like, dude, you like, this is abuse. This is wife abuse. I am going to turn out to be the number one crusader for women's health and women's well-being, because what these men are doing to these women is abuse. Putting your wife in Congress is abuse. She's going to, you know, bad things are going to happen to her. This is abuse. She can't handle it. Putting your wife on YouTube with a million followers and saying, hey, go nuts. Dude, her husband should be put in jail. Could you imagine if this was your wife going live every day, bobbing her head and saying, yeah. So then I told the president of France, I know you were an MK Ultra victim. Like, and you know, what is he? He's leaning up against the wall with his arms folded. Like, that's why I married this woman. You go get him, Candace. You tell the Illuminist Frankist conspiracy what's up. God help us. God correct these people. What is this? What are we doing to our wives? What are we doing to our families? Candace is going live every day, bobbing her head, deputizing her followers. God knows that's going to end well. We're the intelligence agency. Everyone was wearing maroon. They're wearing maroon. The yellow plane went this way. The blue plane went that way. And everyone was wearing maroon. And they all have a bee keychain on their backpacks. And the husband's got to be sitting there. What is your obligation to this person? At a certain point, don't you have an obligation to intervene here? So, you know, I don't know what we're doing with these people. But the point is, yet again, Tucker and all these other people, they want to cast me as the, and look, I don't tell people to follow my lead. You should be getting married. You should be doing the things you do. I'm eccentric. I'm a genius. I'm married to the mission. But they're all trying to paint me as like, oh, he's this like, you know, dysfunctional male. He has this hatred of women. And, you know, real conservatives, no, they're wife guys. Real conservatives say happy wife, happy life. They bow down. And it's like, I'm right. These people that are telling us it's okay to have women in politics are just wrong. And this is the evidence. Like, they crack up. They can't handle it. This is the issue. Case in point, emotional crash out. Charlie Kirk got shot and all these bitches went insane. Like, that's really just what it is. All these bitches went crazy. And look, I don't blame them. Like, honestly, Candace Owens would be much happier if she were just a mom. I think we would honestly get along. But she's trying to play dress up. And same with Marjorie Greene. Marjorie would be the sweetest. Maybe she'd be sweet and nice. Maybe she's got something in her, you know, that makes her this way. But they'd probably be much happier if their husbands were tougher. But this is how it goes every single time. So anyway, that's Marjorie Greene. She goes on Twitter. She says, yeah, typical Republican man. Oh my gosh. You scratch a conservative woman, you get a feminist. I don't care how Republican, how conservative, how base they are. You scratch any Republican woman, you get a feminist. You get a raging feminist bitch. That's exactly what this is. How could she write such a thing? She says, get off your ass and fix your own damn dinner and clean up the kitchen when you're done. Like, we're not married, idiot. What do you like? Are you mad at your boyfriend right now? What are you talking about? Fix your own dinner. If that's not resentment, I don't even know what is. Fix your own damn dinner. And people said I was ridiculous for telling Candace to make me a sandwich. These bitches write a book called Make Me a Sandwich. You tell them, hey, make me some dinner, and they crash out. Totally insane. Anyway, so that's Marjorie Greene. Love the statement. And it's truly a gift. Like I said, because I look like a jerk when I talk about this stuff. But then a woman makes an example like this and they say, okay, there it is. And there it is. That just goes to show. And people say, no, you got to find the right woman. Dude, she was the right woman for some dude at some point. She was conservative, family oriented, whatever. They're all like this. They're all like this. It's just a question of how much you can suppress it. They're all like this. It's just a question of how much can you suppress this instinct that women have to go out and pretend to be men. Because on some level, they're very manipulatable. And the society is promoting this, and women get these ideas in their head, and they want to go and be a politician. They want to go and be a YouTuber. They want to go and do these things. And it's your job to tell them no. It's society's job to say no. That is, it's a different domain. This is a domain for men. This is why.